content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance, Money.com, AARP Bulletin, and also continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. Our first article from Kiplinger.com, Beware of Unsolicited Offers to Buy Your Property. If someone makes an offer on your property out of the blue, be careful. Sometimes these people are counting on you not knowing your property's value and will offer only a fraction of what it's worth. If you have owned a house or commercial property for several years, chances are that someone has recently either phoned with or mailed what appears to be an offer to buy it. In March of 2023, an article in the Star News of Medford, Wisconsin noted, area residents are seeing a flood of unsolicited mail from people seeking to purchase their properties, often at greatly discounted amounts. David is the executor of his parents' estate and received a solicitation and agreement to buy 40 acres of land not far from Medford, Wisconsin. And just as Jamie Kahn, Taylor County, Wisconsin Register of Deeds, told the Star News that she found when researching other companies making such offers, no physical business address was found. Red flags were flying. After receiving the offer, David phoned the telephone number included with the offer. It was a Saturday, he said, and the phone rang and rang and rang with no voicemail, which immediately raised my antenna. Who sends out a solicitation to purchase property and provides a telephone number without an answering service or voicemail? He called again the following Monday. While I still felt it was likely to be fraudulent, as I am the trustee of an estate where the property needs to be liquidated to carry out the wishes of the trust, I felt a duty to explore if this was a legitimate offer. I spoke to a receptionist who did not answer using a business name. After inquiring where I could find properties the company has transacted, I was told, I'm only a receptionist. Call Adam. Which I did, without a return call. So I phoned again, and I got a different receptionist. He expected a different outcome, but when he asked the same questions, he received the same replies. By this time, David said, he was pretty certain something crooked was going on, especially with no call from Adam. So I texted the number as the letter instructed, and once again, there was no reply. Speaking with the receptionist again, but being far more assertive this time, David point blank asked if the company was involved in some type of fraud. Are you targeting older people who have owned parcels of land for extended periods of time and offering them a fraction of what their property is worth? He told me, he asked. I told her that I plan to send a letter to the Arizona Attorney General. Even that got no reply. Concluding our chat, David raised an important point about this unsolicited offer. The company claimed the right to cancel at any time. None of this made sense, David said. Dennis, these 40 acres are worth over $400,000. And what do you think these people offered? $38,000. Analysis by two real estate attorneys. I asked Hanford, California real estate attorneys Ron P. Jones and Robert B. Zumwalt, both friends of this column, for their takes on these unsolicited offers. Mr. Jones replied, "Interesting. I haven't seen one quite like this before. What my wife and I usually receive in the mail is a postcard, often with a photograph of the subject property, telling us that we will get a cash offer with no contingencies that will close in 30 days. The problem with these things is that they're usually offering 25% to 35% of the market value, and sometimes much less. Somebody older, living in their house for many years, who bought the house for $15,000, cannot comprehend their house is worth $250,000, or even far more, depending on the area. So if they get an offer for $75,000 or $95,000, they think it's a gold mine. The biggest part of the scam is that these snakes are making offers to people who don't know better at 25 cents to 35 cents on the dollar, and then reselling the property and making an unscrupulous profit." Mr. Zumwalt said, "This solicitation has a fill-out-the-contract-yourself action, and that's the first time I've seen something like this that invites trouble. It could very well be that these solicitors are designed to gather personal information about people with no real sale in mind in order to steal their identity. This is an assignment clause in that contract that says, I have seen this at least one case in which the buyer is acting more like an unlicensed real estate agent. My guess is their real intent was always to quickly sell the contract to the real buyer for a fee without ever putting up any money of their own. So they bear none of the risk of investigating their own capital and none of the ethical obligations of a licensed real estate agent." Well, what to do if you receive an offer and you do want to sell? Real estate brokers and attorneys recommend being aware that many of the people who send these offers are banking on you not knowing the value of your property. A lowball offer should be thought of as potential elder financial abuse, giving older property owners. If you get one of these unsolicited offers and are interested, ask for the person's name and contact information and tell them you need to think about the offer and run it by your family attorney before making any kind of decision. It is important to verify the identity of the person making the offer before accepting any offer. Do some research on the person or company making the offer. Your land isn't going anywhere, so there's no hurry. Do not feel pressured. Our next article from Money.com, Social Security calls spike after rumor of extra benefits goes viral. After a false rumor describing a $600 increase in Social Security benefits spread online recently, government workers were slammed with questions from beneficiaries trying to figure out what was happening. The Social Security Administration, the federal agency that administers benefits, said it received an influx of 140,000 additional phone calls on June the 3rd, the day when the confusion peaked. The misinformation stems from a bogus news story about a $600 payment increase, Martin O'Malley, Social Security Commissioner, wrote in a tweet on Wednesday. The rumor incorrectly suggested that some people receiving Social Security benefits would get larger checks starting in June due to a cost of living adjustment tied to the inflation rate. "This is false," O'Malley said. "No cost of living adjustment until January 2025. Big thanks to all Social Security Administration staff who helped the customers with this rumor. The truth behind the Social Security rumor. misleading and inaccurate articles mentioning a $600 Social Security increase have been circulating on social media for at least 3 weeks. In online forums, many beneficiaries have also reported seeing the rumor in internet searches. Some of the posts falsely stated that President Joe Biden had enacted the increase before the November presidential election to boost his chances of winning. In reality, there won't be an increase in Social Security benefits until next year, and we won't know what that cost of living adjustment will be until the fall due to the way it's calculated. The latest estimates indicate recipients could get a 2.57% raise next year, according to the Senior Citizens League, an advocacy group for older adults. For 2024, the cost of living adjustment was 3.2%, which increased the average retiree benefit by around $59 a month. Fake news about Social Security isn't uncommon, because it's relied upon by about 68 million Americans, including older adults and people with disabilities. Misinformation can spread quickly. But the Social Security Administration cautions people to avoid falling victim to fraudulent calls and internet phishing schemes by not revealing personal information, selecting malicious links, or opening malicious attachments. When the 2025 cost of living adjustment is officially revealed in October, it will be posted at ssa.gov. And here's an interesting article from Money.com about used car prices. As used car prices fall, here's how to get the best deal. This summer, there's good news if you're in the market for a used car. Prices are at their lowest point in 3 years. Used vehicle costs have dropped by more than 9% over the past year as the market normalizes in the aftermath of a supply crunch that caused prices to soar. Still, used cars probably won't seem cheap to buyers. The latest government inflation data shows that used car prices have increased about 30% since 2019. But the recent decline is a promising sign, says Rebecca Linlin, Senior Director of Industrial Data and Insights at Cars Commerce, the parent company of Cars.com. We've seen this broader drop in used car pricing thanks to gradually improving used car inventory, Linlin says. However, pricing will remain elevated as used inventory recovers from the pandemic. According to their data, the average used car costs nearly $29,000. High interest rates for used car loans are also deterring buyers from shopping in this market. With the current rates, the total cost of buying a used vehicle isn't much cheaper than they were a year or two ago. From the point of view of just headline vehicle prices, they're definitely getting more affordable. But when you think about it as an all-in cost, I don't know if consumers are feeling that much relief yet, says Kevin Roberts, Director of Industrial Insights and Analytics at Car Gurus. Shoppers are looking for ways to save money due to these challenges. Here are some tips to navigate the used car market and get a good deal this summer. Expand your used car search. The supply of used vehicles has improved slightly in the past year, rising 3%, but availability is still well below the normal level, according to Cox Automotive data. To find a good deal on the car you want, it can help to search across a wider geographical area than you may be used to. Online sites like Car Gurus and Cars.com make it easy to search listings from multiple dealerships in your region. Robert says expanding your search area increases the pool of vehicles that you can find and might be able to find you some more attractive price points as well. Depending on your priorities, you may want to include private seller listings in your search. Private sellers typically offer vehicles at lower prices, but one of the downsides is you won't receive a warranty. When dealing with private sellers, consider having a mechanic inspect the car before you close the deal, and be sure to review the vehicle history with a tool like Carfax. And expand your choice of vehicles. The best used car deals are typically available on vehicles that are not in very high demand, as dealerships will price cars more aggressively if they're sitting on their lots for a long time. While popular cars are popular for a reason, there may be a vehicle that suits your needs that's undergone more depreciation due to less popularity. In the past year, used electric vehicles in particular have depreciated much more quickly than other types of cars, according to iccars.com. And set realistic cost expectations. Because prices rose so much during the pandemic, used car shoppers who haven't been following the trends could be in for some serious sticker shock as they start their next vehicle search. Popular vehicles in short supply are not depreciating as much as you might think. A 5-year-old Toyota RAV4 with 50,000 miles, for example, will likely be listed above $20,000. That's way out of budget for many used car shoppers. For reference, Car Gurus has seen a 26% year-over-year increase in searches for vehicles priced under $10,000, according to a new report. If you're on a tight budget, it's important to set realistic expectations up front. Pre-arrange financing so that you know exactly what you can afford, then go out and try to find a car that's in that budget. You're probably not going to find a used car under $10,000 at a franchise dealership, but there are plenty of options at used car lots if you're willing to drive an older car or something with more mileage. And negotiate for a lower price. Used car shoppers have leveraged in the current market because demand is low due to high auto loan rates. That means shoppers should try to negotiate for a lower price. The end of the month may be the best time to work out a deal because salespeople are often trying to meet monthly quotas. For new cars, the end of the month and the end of the quarter are considered the best times to shop. If you're shopping for a used car at a dealership, it's just the end of the month that matters, according to Pat Ryan, CEO of the car shopping app Copilot. Regardless of how and when you're shopping, you should compare the car you're buying with comps that have similar features and mileage. Looking at other online listings will also give you a sense of the fair price for the vehicle, and you can use that information to make sure you're not overpaying. Even if you find the car you want, don't be afraid to walk away and continue searching if the price isn't right. And our next article is from AARP Bulletin. Do these things today, be safer tomorrow. An updated to-do list to make it much harder for scammers to reach you. Open your iPhone's contact list and add your family, friends, doctors, and other important numbers. Then go into your phone setting and turn on the settings for, quote, silence unknown callers. This will send any caller who isn't in your contact list directly to your voicemail. and every few months revise the passwords on your financial accounts. Your best bet is to use a passphrase such as, I love my 17 dog Z! Is much stronger than Scruffy 23. Keep track of passwords in a highly secure password manager or by writing them down and storing them safely. And make sure you are signed out of any financial apps on your phone, credit cards, financial institutions, and peer-to-peer apps such as Venmo, Cash App, or Zelle. Also, make sure your account settings require security measures such as a PIN, fingerprint, or facial recognition. This ensures that if your phone is stolen, the thief will not have access to your money. And always be skeptical. Many criminals use friendliness, compassion, and kindness as their persuasion method rather than fear and intimidation. Likewise, scammers create a sense of urgency to get you to act out of emotion rather than logic. If you feel pressured or manipulated, walk away. And audit your wallet or purse. That means remove cards and information you don't need to carry, such as your Social Security number or Medicare card. And make copies of anything you do need to carry, front and back, and store them in a safe place at home. And you can add the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline phone number into your phone right now, so you'll have it if you need it. To report a scam or an attempt, you can call 1-877-908-3360. And routinely monitor your credit report. Some banks or credit cards offer this as a free service. You can also go to annualcreditreport.com or call 877-322-8228 to get free reports from the big three credit bureaus. Watch for unusual activity if you see any. Report it immediately to all three bureaus and appropriate financial institutions. And lastly, check your social media settings to make sure you have your accounts set to private. This allows only people you choose to trust to view your pages and contact you. And as we wrap up our episode today, we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks. These are 275 plus ways to decrease spending, increase savings, and make your money work for you. And we will continue with money hack number 259. Grab an umbrella policy. One extra layer of insurance protection that's worth considering is an umbrella policy. Its name has nothing to do with actual umbrellas. Rather, it refers to its purpose and fits over the top of the policies you already have for your car or home. This insurance kicks in if you exceed the limits of your regular insurance policies for your car, home, or other assets. It's often referred to as excess liability insurance, and can come in handy if you get sued by someone with whom you're involved in an insurance claim. It can be a good idea for people who do the following: are landlords, coach a sports team, volunteer frequently with or serve on the board of a nonprofit, participate in high-risk sports, own a pool or hot tub. Umbrella insurance doesn't cover your own injuries or damages, but does cover others' injuries or damages along with your legal defense. A $1 million umbrella insurance policy costs between $150 to $400 per year. And money hack number 260, names on your financial accounts. When you open a new account related to your finances, whether it be for life insurance or retirement account or any number of other purposes, you probably get asked who you want to name as a beneficiary. Whoever you name gets the funds from that account after you're deceased, and it's typical to list a family member, friend, or other loved one. But while accounts like 401ks and IRAs will prompt you to name beneficiaries, you should also be on the lookout for opportunities to name beneficiaries for other accounts, such as regular old checking and savings accounts. Naming someone as a beneficiary doesn't mean they get access to your accounts when you're alive. It just means that they can deal with your accounts when you pass away. Naming a beneficiary allows your selected person to access your accounts with just their identification and your death certificate, rather than waiting for the entire process of your will being read or your estate being handled in court. It can make life a lot easier for whomever you name to handle your finances when you die. And money hack number 261, go window shopping. One of the worst things you can do for your finances is to get too comfortable. Companies that provide financial services know the power of inertia. You're not likely to pick up and change companies unless there's something super appealing about a competitor or if something makes you really get upset with your current company. That means your insurance company can raise rates on you even if you've been a loyal customer for years. The practice is controversial. Some insurance carriers are known to buy consumer data about you to determine how sensitive you are to price increases. They use this data to figure out how much they can increase your rates when it's time to renew without you reacting. Then at the same time they raise your premiums, they may say you're getting a discount or a special rate for being a loyal customer. The catch is that sometimes that discount is made up just to make you feel valued. The practice of using data for price optimization is frowned upon by regulators, but it's hard to prove insurance carriers do it. Other carriers who don't participate in price optimizing will nudge your premiums upwards while giving discounts to new customers because they know you're unlikely to move on. So before you renew your policy, without a second glance, compare your renewal rate to what you're seeing for new customers at the same company or what you might be able to get somewhere else. And we are out of time again for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.